Volleyball extends their winning streak to 4 games as they enter conference play. Football gets handed its first loss of the season, and cross country has their first meet of the season. Hello and welcome to episode 17 of Talking Dogs. I'm Cohen Carpenter here with Kai Ulbrich. Kai, how's it going?
It's going all right. Been a bit of a rough week on the field, but honestly, you know, we move.
So. Yeah, well, last night, tough losses, I guess, for everybody this past week. Last night, it was men's soccer. They had number 24, number 25. They were ranked. Benedictine was coming into Seward. Didn't go the way we wanted.
Not at all. So, yeah, like you said, they're ranked 24 in the country. So, obviously, ranked opponent. Yep. Never going to be an easy game. I don't think we didn't go into it thinking it would be easy. We had a very tight game with them last year. We ended up defeating them 1-0 last season. Very close game. Could have gone either way. Honestly, the same story this time.
Yeah.
This year, it went in their favor. We had chances. You know, this was probably one of our better games of the year on an attacking side, despite the fact that we didn't score.
Okay.
We had more chances than previous games. In a lot of the other games, we were getting outshot quite heavily by our opponents. Shooting was actually even in this game, so an improvement there.
Shots just weren't falling.
Right. The shots weren't falling, and it's just, you know, that last touch, that last pass, that's missing right now. We're really good. First two-thirds of the field, just getting into that final third and making things happen there is a little bit rough, but like I said, it's a process of going up. We're improving from where we were on Saturday for sure.
Mm-hmm.
We played against Grandview on Saturday, ended up tying them 1-1. Despite the fact that, you know, a loss is worse than a tie, we actually played much better yesterday than we did on Saturday.
Because Grandview's not ranked.
They're not ranked, yeah. No. Probably a slightly weaker opponent, although both of them gave us a pretty decent challenge.
Yep.
Moving to that game against Grandview, like I said, it was a 1-1 draw. We ended up getting the first goal in that game. It was sophomore Mike Weivel, again, his second goal of the season for the center back.
There we go.
Yeah, so good to see him getting on the score sheet. Then they equalized just before halftime, so that was pretty rough. And went on to finish a tie, 1-1.
Yep.
So that's kind of been the story of the season. Lots of ties. Record is 1 win, 2 losses, 3 draws.
Yeah, that's not pretty.
But we haven't lost by more than a 1-goal margin.
Yeah, so it's been really frustrating.
Every game's been really tight. It's been a 5-0 win, a 0-0 tie, a 1-1 tie, 2-1 loss, 1-1 tie, 1-0 loss.
Yeah.
So if we can get the final third figured out, like, realistically, we should be able to win games conceding 1 goal.
Sure, yeah, ideally.
We'd hope to be able to score, you know, 1, 2, 3 goals a game, and I think with what we saw yesterday against Benedictine, we're definitely getting to that point.
Sure.
We had a couple crosses across the box that, you know, we had 2 people sliding in for and it just didn't come off.
Yeah.
So it's definitely a process.
Yeah.
Like I mentioned last week, it's all about building into conference play.
Yep, exactly.
Ultimately, as much as you like the records, having a positive record and you like being ranked and just winning feels pretty good too.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, it doesn't matter near as much as your conference record. So if we lose a few games non-conference, but that translates into a couple more wins during the conference season, I'll take that.
Sure.
So obviously it's not, you know, an excuse like it's fine if we play poorly, but it's just saying we've got to start performing now. Like,
yeah.
The time for not performing was then. York is coming right up, our last non-conference game. And then we're straight into the defending GPAC tournament champions, Northwestern. So that's going to be
There's
a big test for us. Yeah, York is going to – they're always a decent opponent. Not – they haven't been the best in previous years, but, you know, yeah, you have to have the mentality that anyone can beat you.
Sure.
So we're going to go into that one. We're going to play hard, and we're going to use that one as one last preparation for that GPAC season coming up.
Yeah, and I think to your point, the time of the season to work all your kinks out is definitely during that non-conference schedule, because it affords you a little bit more, you know, levity when it comes to the playoff scenarios, and a lot of these games aren't going to bite as hard a couple of months down the road when you say, oh man, we dropped a game to Benedictine early on in August and September. That doesn't hurt as much. Obviously, you like to win it, but that doesn't hurt as much as, like, man, we dropped a really winnable game against Dort in early on in the season.
Exactly.
So I think the time to work the kink out, I think you say this for any sport, but it's definitely those non-conference matchups.
Yeah, I mean, like you were saying, and I was just saying, like, we'd rather be missing chances right now
yes.
than later on in the season.
Yeah.
So,
the big goal right now for all sports and non-conference play is just, if you're losing games, figure out why so you can fix that for the conference schedule.
And stop losing once conference season comes
ideally,
up.
Yes, ideally.
So that's definitely the goal for us right now. We need to start winning games.
Yes,
Like
get
any
on the
sport,
board.
You want to win games. But, you know, disappointing week for soccer. I know it's probably been the same way for football. Can you run us through that game?
You can say that. May not spend a lot of time on it, but it was a tough loss to Morningside. Feels like the past few years to Morningside, they've all been tough losses. This one was 51-21. So, you know, Waldorf, sometimes you're on the right side of a blowout. Sometimes you're on the wrong side of the blowout. That's just the way football goes. Morningside, on the positive side of things, they only had 100 rushing yards throughout the entire game, so our defense, especially the front seven, did a really good job of shutting that down. I think we out-physicaled them in the box, both offensively and defensively, but they kind of got us in passing yards, had close to 500 passing yards. They had a receiver on the other side of the ball, didn't get his name, but he set the school record for receptions in a game, I think with 18, which is a big number, and got in the hole early. We got... They drove down the field their first drive, put 7 points on the board, then a pick six gets us down 14-0, and that's just really, that's a bad funk to try and shake off. We were a lot better in the second half, actually outscored Morningside in the second half. We at one point had 15 unanswered, but we weren't able to maintain that. We had a few three and outs there. Ended up being a crazy long game. I could tell you it felt like a crazy long game Monday because, you know, they say, like, you feel like you got out of a car wreck. I feel like I got out of a car wreck because it was close to 180, 190 plays, which is a lot. We had close to 90 plays on offense, which, you know, ideally you want to have a lot less than that just for the longevity of the guys on the team. But it was a lot. What that tells you is that we got down in a hole early, had to throw the ball a lot more, and that's just what you get. You're going to get those long play games. But looking to bounce back, next Saturday we are at Dakota Westland in Mitchell, South Dakota. They do this really big thing in Mitchell where they have all of the local high school and Dakota Westland, they all play games on the same way. It's like party day in Mitchell, or I don't know what they call it. Anyways, last year they had a soccer game right before the football game and it went into overtime and they had to push the football game back. So they just said, we're going to push the football game back initially this year. So it's starting at 2:30, which is a bit later. However, it should get back normal with these next few games because we started off the season with two night games, which is really uncommon.
Right.
I'm like 90% sure those are only night games and the rest of it from here on out after this Mitchell game should all be 1 p.m. start times, which will be nice to get into that groove. But football, 1-1 on the season, 0-1 or 0-2 or 1-1 in the GPAC, both GPAC games. Now that Waldorf is in the GPAC, so disappointing loss to Morningside, but there were some nice takeaways that I think we can take and apply to the rest of the season.
Yeah, definitely. Love to see at least you can build off of a tough loss like that against like a really quality,
really
opponent.
Really good.
They're
opponent.
One of the best teams, not just in the GPAC but in the whole country.
Yeah, and they, you know, they're coming off. They had a national championship win. What was that, 2019, a few years ago? They're a perennial playoff team, so they're a tough nut to crack for sure. Feel like we got closer to cracking that nut this year than especially we did last year. Especially compared to last year's game, it was a step in the right direction. Excited for next year. That'll be a fun matchup. Especially, you know, we got a lot of roster turnover, so it'll be interesting to see what goes down there. Now, turning it back over to the other soccer, how did the women do this past week?
Yeah, so the women, they only had one game this week, yesterday on Wednesday. So they had the weekend off to
That's nice.
Chill, hang
there you
out.
Go.
Yeah. So they played Benedictine, just like the men, and unfortunately a very similar story for them. They ended up taking a 2-0 loss to Benedictine. Yeah, so the women, they had 9 total shots, 4 on goal. Kirsten Gardner, we know that name a lot. She had 2 of those shots, one of those getting on target. Unfortunately, none of them finding the back of the net.
Yep.
The Benedictine keeper had a solid game. Yeah, honestly, not too many great things in the game. Like, it wasn't terrible.
Yeah.
It just, things weren't working out quite how they needed to. Kind of like the guys' game.
Yep.
Chances for both teams. Benedictine took theirs. We didn't, unfortunately.
Yep.
But talking about a team that has been taking their chances this
year.
Let's talk about our volleyball
team.
How
about it? They are 9-1 overall now, 2-0 in the GPAC. This is just their second GPAC game. They remain undefeated in the conference. It was a 3-1 match win versus the College of St. Mary. So we talked about last time against Mount Marty. They had a troublesome third set where their hitting percentage dropped by 200, 300 points. They actually lead the GPAC in hitting percentage, 252, tied with Northwestern currently. However, they have these sets sometimes where they'll go into a game, in this game as an example, north of 400 for their hitting percentage in the first set, and then in the second set it drops to, 140 and sometimes lower. I was talking to Coach about that after the game. He says sometimes it's just about getting into a rhythm. Sometimes you're in a rhythm, sometimes you're not in a rhythm. It doesn't matter as long as you win, and that's exactly what happened. Able to bounce back after that rough second set, and we're able to rattle off a few wins there, and get a nice, comfortable victory over the College of St. Mary. College of St. Mary, not a bad team. They were actually ranked in the preseason. They had a rough start. They were ranked 17 going into the season. They had a rough start, dropped a few games that they probably thought they should win, and now they're unranked, but nonetheless a good opponent. And we had a milestone, actually, at the game last night. Gabby Nordiker, who's been with the Bulldogs for the longest time, she eclipsed 500 career blocks on Wednesday night. Wow. And it's a big number, but just to put it into context, she's only the third Bulldog in history to have 500 or more blocks. And she's not just doing it at the net, she's also six all-time in kills. But just to give her bulletin board material, something to write on in the mirror in the bathroom in the morning, something to look forward to, the two girls ahead of her on the total blocks list, one is Katie Warner, who has 787. She played from 04 to 07. And then Rachel Kirchner, who played from 98 to 01. She has 760. So Gabby Nordiker sitting at 503. She's got a ways to go to get to the first two, but it's still a really impressive. She's only the third Bulldog in history to meet that milestone. And it was really a nice night for her. Nice accomplishment.
Absolutely. And she still has some season left to increase that number.
She does.
We are still very early on. We could see that number go up a lot higher
than
it is right now.
And her milestone was really kind of indicative of the performance as a whole. I think that game last night was really won and lost at the net. Outblocked. More blocking assists than the Flames. It was just a really dominant. Coach was talking about last night about owning the net. I think you can definitely say that they owned the net last night. Now, they're looking forward to, they got a big one coming up Saturday. It's number 20 Midland. And if you're new to the podcast, if you're new to Concordia, if you're new to Concordia Volleyball, number 20 Midland was the team that knocked us out of the NAIA tournament last December. Mm-hmm. And that was an upset, to say the least.
Definitely.
Definitely an upset. Concordia, as we have been throughout the past, half dozen years, one of the highest-ranked teams in the nation going into that tournament. Midland, I believe, was either number 13 or number 14, and they end up going 3-0. They sweep us there in pool play in the NAIA tournament. Just left a bad taste in a lot of the girls' mouths, so it's going to be really exciting to shake that rust off, get back. Again, it's exciting because it's a GPAC matchup, but also with that little bit of extra, get back, and that'll be nice to have the rematch there. That'll be in Seward Saturday, so make sure to show up and show out for a huge GPAC matchup in the volleyball side of things.
Yeah, absolutely. You always love to face that team that maybe hit you a little bit the previous season, especially when you know that you can do some damage to them. We know that our ladies can definitely beat that Midland team, and better have lots of support there for them, because it should be a good one.
It should be a good one. It should be very exciting. I think that'll give them something a little extra to motivate them in the locker room going into it.
Absolutely. I imagine that Midland game is a bit of a rivalry, too.
I think it is, because these are kind of two squads that have always been near the top of their game. Historically, have been very good squads, but you talk about like eras of, this happens in any sport, but, and I'm not equating this to like the Golden State Warriors, but you had like the Warriors and the Cavs, and they both had like, they played their best basketball around the same time. And it's kind of the same thing where Concordia has been, especially recently, on this historically dominant stretch of volleyball play, and Midland's kind of been right there with them when you look at the rankings and how they've shaped out in all these tournaments.
Yeah, absolutely. And you just look at the state of Nebraska as a whole, often has a lot of the best volleyball teams in the country, so it's no surprise to see the GPAC. You look at Concordia, you look at Midland, you look at Northwestern.
Northwestern, I think, is number one right now.
Those are always three teams in the top 25. And yeah, like you just mentioned, two of them in the top 10, Concordia and Northwestern.
Yeah.
So GPAC has some good teams. There's not really any bad GPAC volleyball teams.
You go to a GPAC volleyball game, you're in to watch some good volleyball.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then we had one more sport. We're going to add this to the rotation. Cross country started their season off. How did that go?
Yeah, so they had the Augustana Twilight in Sioux City. So we'll just briefly go through the team scores and then some top performers from each side. So the men, they finished 9th on the team total out of a total of 30 teams, so getting in the top third there. And then we had the women, they got 7th out of a total of 20 teams. And this was not just an NAIA meet. This was, I believe there were all divisions represented. We have teams like Doan in the GPAC. But then you've got someone like Iowa Western, who's a JUCO. You've got Minnesota State is one of them. You've got South Dakota State. You've got the Huskers. They were there.
Oh, wow. How about that?
UNL was at this meet. Yeah. So they, UNL ended up getting the win on the women's side. And I believe on the men's side, actually, Iowa Western won on the men's side. The Huskers were third in the team standings for the men. But solid day for both the men and the women. Looking at the men's top performer, it was Trey Robertson. He actually ended up getting a school record. So the Augustana meet, they do a 4-mile race for the men, and Robertson ran his in 19 minutes and 22 seconds. Ooh. Outrageous.
Yeah.
I could barely run a 5K in that amount.
Yeah, that's insane.
It's insane. It's absolutely insane. And school record, so love to see that. And then he also was the GPAC Cross Country Athlete of the Week.
There you go.
Congrats to him getting on that pretty early in the year.
Yeah.
And then for the women, our top three were all right next to each other. In 57th, 58th, and 59th place, we had Hannah Bintema, Keegan Beasel, and then Anika Staub with 1858, 1859, and 1902, respectively. For the women, they were in a 5K. For the men, they do a 4-mile.
Interesting. Okay.
But yeah, so a good start to the season for both squads. You know, placing quite high in a meet that has all divisions represented.
Yeah.
Not too shabby.
Yeah, not bad at all. It's good to see the cross country getting off and going, and then everybody else is getting into conference play. Safe to say it's a very exciting time of year for the Bulldogs. But that'll be all for this episode of Talking Dogs. Be sure to stay tuned in the future for a weekly podcast on the CUNE SOAR website and on Spotify. From Cohen Carpenter and Kyle Ulbrich and everybody at the CUNE SOAR newspaper, have a good day and go Dogs!